The setting was a cafe on the beach overlooking the Pacific Ocean. There was a breeze coming off the ocean, which made it for a rather pleasant moment. The food was superb. A man had invited me to lunch so that he could talk to me. Counsel might have been a better verb. He was pouring out his heart about some decision that he had made that wasn't particularly smart. And as he told me the story and as he talked, he kept saying, dumb. Just dumb. Dumb. He must have said that a half a dozen times as he was telling me about this dumb decision that he had made. You ever done that?
No.
You ever made a decision and looked back and said, oh, that wasn't bright? Well, I have to confess to you, I have, and more times than I would care to remember. Now, when that happens to me, here's my question. How do I not do that again? How do I make decisions so that I can prevent from making dumb ones? To say the same thing another way, is there some way I can learn to make decisions in such a way that I know beforehand they're smart and not dumb? Well, the answer to that question is yes. There are things you can do to get smart even before you make a decision. Matter of fact, there are several suggestions I would like to make today, and I'm sure there are others. But there are two that are tucked away in an obscure little passage in the Old Testament, and I would like for us to look at it. Will you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1? Of all the passages in Proverbs, this is the passage that has probably gotten the least attention. Proverbs chapter 1. Is the prologue to the book. It gives us the purpose for why the book was written in the first place. Verse 1 of the first chapter says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equality." Equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now, in many books of the Bible, the opening words tell us who the author is. And Book of Proverbs is no exception. The first words are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And in a sense, those words do nothing more than tell us who the author of this book is. What follows in verses 2 to 6 is Solomon telling us the purpose, or I should say, the purpose is plural, of why he wrote Proverbs. Now, what I'm going to do today is I first want to look at that first verse by itself, because hidden in it, in a subtle sense, is one of the ways we can learn to make decisions that are wise. And then I want us to look at verses 2 to 6 and look specifically at the reason Proverbs was written. And bound up in all of those verses is a second lesson we can learn about how to make wise decisions. So let's begin with looking at verse 1. It simply says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Now, let me make a few comments that might be just helpful if you were beginning to study Proverbs. And the first is the word proverb. What is a proverb? Well, normally we think of it as a short, pithy saying. And that's included, but that isn't exactly the idea. The idea behind a proverb is that it is a general truth about life. And it may be a short sentence, as it often is in the book of Proverbs, but it may be a long sermon, as it sometimes is in the book of Proverbs. If you're used to thinking of Proverbs as single verses, you'll be surprised to discover that there are whole chapters that are units within the book of Proverbs. For example, chapter 5 is a single unit, all on one subject and discussing it. So a proverb is a general truth about life. It is not a law. I think people come to the book of Proverbs and they misunderstand that. If you want law in the Bible, you got to go to Moses. You got to go to Exodus. And specifically, if you want to see the law summarized, you need to go to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. That is law to which there are no exceptions, as Moses makes very clear. The book of Proverbs is a general truth. And unlike a law, it may have an exception. The other thing you need to understand is that a proverb is not necessarily a promise. A promise is something that's going to happen. A proverb is something that is a general truth about life. It may happen, and it may have an exception. Let me illustrate. There's a modern proverb that says, better late than never. You ever heard that? Well, that's a good truth. That's a good truth to live by. But I wouldn't say it's a law. I wouldn't say it's a promise. I'd say it's a proverb. And I would say, I can think of an exception. Let's suppose some people who wanted to kill me made an appointment with me. Well, I would rather never be than late be, right? So better late than never is a general truth that ought to be followed, but doesn't mean that there are no exceptions. Now, that's the way it is with the book of Proverbs. These are general truths to help us understand life, but that doesn't mean that there aren't exceptions, and that's a very critical thing to understand when you begin to read this book. I think what we've put in its place today are something like slogans. And slogans may be nothing more than a person's biases or prejudices. These are wise general truths about life. Now, this tells us these are the Proverbs of Solomon. And normally in a book of the Bible, when you meet a man's name in the first verse, he's the author, right? And Solomon is the author, but not exactly. For if you keep reading the book, you will discover that there are, toward the end of the book, some other people who wrote. But by and large, Solomon is the author of the bulk of the book of Proverbs. What I think is fascinating is this. Of all the things you could say about Solomon, what would you put? He built the big temple, right? And he was a wise man. All that's true. But notice the way he identifies himself. The son of David, king of Israel. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, identifies Solomon as the son of David, king of Israel. He identifies himself as a son and as the king. Now, I think that in the context of the book of Proverbs, that's very important. Do you know who his father was? David, who lived a very full life. He wrote at least half of the book of Psalms. Just read them. He had about every experience it's possible to have. So here is the son of a man who lived a full life. You think he learned anything about life from his father? Of David, it is said he was a man after God's own heart. You think he learned anything about a relationship with the Lord from his father? Well, I submit to you, no doubt he did. So that the principle, it seems to me, that emerges from the first verse of Proverbs is that you can learn from the experience of other people. I suggest that's what Solomon did. Even the fact that he was king of Israel says to me that he learned from other people. You want to learn about life? Just get put in a position where you're over some other people, and you'll learn about life real quick. Have you ever been in charge of some other people? Boy, let me tell you, you want to learn about life? Just be over other people, and you will. So, while I concede that verse 1 is doing nothing more than telling us that this is a book of Proverbs and that it was written by Solomon, I would like to go a step further and suggest that this verse is really telling us that Solomon learned from other people. And that's, it seems to me, one of the ways that you make smart decisions. You learn from the experiences of other people. Now somebody's going to say to me, Mike, didn't Solomon ask the Lord for wisdom and the Lord gave it? Oh, there's no question about that. My point is, how did the Lord do that? And from the book of Proverbs, it's evident that he did it in Solomon's case by making Solomon aware of a whole bunch of things going on in life, especially through other people. So I'm not questioning that the Lord did this. I'm simply saying that one of the ways the Lord teaches us all is through the experience of other people, and that you ought to learn from the experiences of others. That's how you keep from making dumb decisions and making smart ones. Let me put it like this. You ever heard the expression, learn from experience? I learned from experience. Well, I hope that's true. I certainly wouldn't want you not to learn from your experience. But if you want to make a wise, smart choice beforehand, how about learning from the experience of others so that you don't have to go through some of what they went through? Does that sound smart? That's what I think's going on here. I grew up, as I've told you before, in a little town called Pensacola, Florida. Near my house was a street that was on a very steep incline. And all us kids used to use that steep street as our playground. We would get on our bikes, kick it in neutral, and just go lickety-split down that hill. It was great. Or we'd get on our roller skates and just go gliding down that hill. Well, one day, the city fathers decided that they were going to repave our runway. And they put this nice, new, fresh, hot layer of tar on our playground. Now the question was, is it ready for us to play on again? And one brave soul among us decided that he would see. He thought sure he could make it across. And he ventured out across the street on his skates. And unfortunately, he did not make it. It wasn't dry yet, and this dear fellow got stuck in the tar. Now, fortunately, he wasn't hurt seriously, just took several gallons of gas to get all the tar off of him. But let me tell you something. We learned from his experience. None of us said, oh, I got to learn this myself. We watched him and decided, you know what? I'll learn from his experience. Thank you very much. And that's what I'm suggesting to you. Get smart. Don't wait to learn it the hard way, as we say. Learn from the experience of other people. That's obviously from reading this book what Solomon did. Now somebody's going to say to me, Mike, what happens if you don't know smart people? What happens if you don't know wise people? And there are not many of them left, are there? Might be hard to find wise people. Well, let me suggest a second way that you gain wisdom in life. And it is simply this. Not only should you learn from wise people in your life, you can learn from what wise people have written. That, it seems to me, is the whole point of the book of Proverbs. That Solomon, who was wise, wrote this book so that other people could read it and become wise. Now, to develop this thought, as Solomon has given it to us, is a little bit involved. And I'm going to try and make it as simple as I possibly can. I want you to look at verse 2. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, he's saying, that's why I wrote, to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive words of understanding. My question is, what do you mean by all of that? And this is where it gets a tad bit complicated. So let me get technical for just a minute, because this is critical to understanding what's written here. This verse is telling us that there are two purposes to the book of Proverbs. Number one is to know wisdom and instruction. And number two is to perceive the words of understanding. I'm going to call the first one of those a moral purpose, and I'm going to call the second one of those a mental purpose. Now, I'll explain all that in just a minute. But I want you to see that verse 2 is giving us a twofold purpose of the book of Proverbs. The rest of this paragraph, which goes through verse 6, is nothing more of an elaboration of those two points. And you say, Mike, how do you know that? Well, read the passage and I'll show you. Look at verse 3. To receive instruction of wisdom. Where did we see those two words before? At the beginning of verse 2. Now drop down to verse 6. To understand a proverb, which is the same word, same root word, that's used in verse 2 to perceive words of understanding. So, scholars have examined and analyzed this passage, and they have come to the conclusion that what Solomon says is, look, I wrote this so that you would receive wisdom. And then in verses 3 to 5, he expands on that wisdom. He also says in verse 2, I wrote this so you would perceive words of understanding, and then he comes back in verse 6 to explain that. The first of these, I'm suggesting, has to do with a moral purpose. I'll explain that in a minute. And the second has to do with simply a mental purpose, which is really fascinating to me, and I'll get to that when we come to verse 6. All right, you with me? Let's talk about this. Why did he write this? Well, he tells us, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. Let's talk about that for a minute. Would you like to be wise? You don't want to be stupid, right? Want to be wise? What does that mean? What is wisdom? Would you be surprised if I told you that the Hebrew word wisdom and the Greek word in the New Testament means skill? That's what wisdom is? It's skill? In the book of Exodus, God told Moses to build a tabernacle. In chapter 31, he said, I have filled men with a spirit of wisdom. Now, why do you need wisdom to build a tent? Well, this was an elaborate tent. It had metal all over it and wood carvings and all this kind of stuff. And what God is saying is this, not that he made them of superior intellect. It isn't that he gave them some intellectual insight or philosophical insight about life, which is what we usually associate with wisdom. No, he is saying, I gave these men skill in working with wood and metal so they could build the tabernacle. The point is that the word wisdom means skill. Now, in the book of Proverbs, it's not skill in working with wood or skill in working with metal. It is skill in working with life. It's skill in living. A wise person lives skillfully. And there are a lot of moral issues in this book. This is not just philosophical abstract wisdom. It's wisdom about making choices in life that have to do with moral choices. And that's why I say this is a moral purpose. It's to give us skill in making wise moral decisions in life. Now look at verse 2 again. It's to know wisdom and instruction. And the word instruction means discipline or training. So this book was written to be a training manual, to teach us, to discipline us, so that we could be skillful in the way we live our lives. Now, that's the general statement given in verse 2. He picks it up in verse 3, and in verses 3 to 5, he elaborates and expands on this moral purpose for the writing the book of Proverbs, to be skillful in the way you live your life. So look at verse 3. He says to receive instruction of wisdom. Now, instruction is the same word we just saw. It means discipline or training. The word wisdom now is a different Hebrew word, and it means prudence or insight or just having good sense. It's more practical wisdom. And he says, what I mean by that is justice, judgment, and equity. Now, we could spend all kinds of time tracing these words through the Bible, but the point is this, that I wrote this book so that everybody would get some idea in a practical way of what is justice. Do what's right. Of judgment, meaning taking what's right and applying it to life. It's the social application of justice. And equity, same idea, that you have some sense of justice and judgment and righteousness about you. The word equity in Hebrew literally means smooth. It's to get all the wrinkles out of your life. You ever met a wrinkled person? I'm not talking about older people whose skin wrinkles. I'm talking about they live a wrinkled life. Well, this is to smooth it out so that you can live a skillful life. And in the area of, look at verse 3, justice, judgment, and equity. And that's why I call this a moral purpose. It's to teach you the skill in living. And the first thing he says is, and I want you to live a righteous, just life. Now, let's see how this works. What I'm saying is this. How can I make wise decisions beforehand? How can I know they're wise before I make them? Well, the answer is, read. Read what a wise man wrote. And that what you're going to do if you're reading the right kind of wise man is you're going to make decisions that are just and righteous and that are smooth. You're not going to have a bunch of bumps in your life called wrinkles. Now, let me just illustrate this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Keep your finger in chapter 1 because we're going to come back. I just want to illustrate how this works. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says, in your dealings with other people, you ought to treat them right, which is exactly what Solomon said he wrote this book to teach us. I heard a speaker say many years ago that this means that you put 16 ounces to the pound. If you're a merchant, you don't buy at 17 ounces to the pound and sell at 14 ounces to the pound. You treat people with righteousness and equity. Now, how do you learn that? Well, I guess one way you could learn is go out and cheat people and get caught and thrown into jail, and then you come out and say, man, I learned that the hard way. Or you could say, I was reading the book of Proverbs, and God said it's the smart thing to do to treat people right. And I happen to be a merchant that weighs things, and I'm going to treat people right. I'm going to give them 16 ounces to the pound. Get the picture? So what's happening? I am learning from what a wise man wrote without having to go through the school of hard knocks. I like it. I like it a lot. Now, there are several kinds of people that Solomon is particularly interested in seeing to it that they get this truth. And those are spelled out for us. Look back at chapter 1 and look at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, underline the word simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion, underline or circle young man. A wise man, verse 5. There are three people that really need to get the point of Proverbs, which is to develop skill in living and have this moral sense of what's right and wrong about them. And the first is the simpleton. Now, who is simple? Well, it's not what it might sound like it is. A simpleton in the book of Proverbs is a very interesting fellow. The Hebrew word simple means open. A simpleton is somebody who is open to all impressions and influences, both good and bad, both wise and foolish. In the book of Proverbs, the simpleton is sort of in the middle. If he listens to the wise, he becomes wise. If he listens to the foolish, he becomes foolish. So the book of Proverbs is constantly talking about the wise, the foolish, and every once in a while it throws in, and the simpleton. I became really interested in this person many years ago and did a little bit of a preliminary study on this because of a gal I was counseling with, and I decided she was a simpleton. And what I discovered is that I was right on in that particular estimate because she was just open. It's an inexperienced person. They are naive. They are gullible. So they are easily led, and consequently, it's easy for them to fall into the ditch. My illustration of this is not going to please everybody, but it's sort of like a junior high age teenager. You know? They haven't quite learned a lot about life yet. They're inexperienced and impressionable, and parents get very concerned about their young people about that age because they know they can now make decisions that can mar them for the rest of their life. Well, that's the simpleton. There's nothing wrong with being a simpleton. All of us started out as simpletons. I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with it. I'm just trying to describe this is what a simpleton is like. Well, Solomon said, I wrote the book of Proverbs for the naive. That's who I wrote it for. Look at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple. Here's another word that you might say is just another synonym for wisdom, but this particular word means to be crafty in the good sense of the term. In other words, Solomon said, I wrote the book of Proverbs so that this inexperienced, open, gullible, easily led simpleton could become aware and make wise choices in life. So the book of Proverbs was written to give awareness to the simple. Now, let me illustrate this. And let me just have you put your finger again in the first chapter and turn to the seventh. Turn over a few pages and look at chapter 7, verse 7. I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. Aha! Read this chapter in detail and you'll discover it's warning the simpleton and the young man against the harlot. So, a young man who's recently discovered his libido might be tempted to wander after a harlot, and the way you keep from making that tragic mistake, according to Solomon, is you read what he wrote. And I'm trying to make you aware of the dangers of that kind of a lifestyle. So you can see why I'm saying this is a moral purpose. It's to give us wisdom, skill in living that has to do with moral decisions as we walk through life. There's a second kind of person that Solomon really wants to get this message, and that kind of a person is spelled out in verse 4 where he says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Who does he mean by the young man? This Hebrew word was used of young people from ages 3 months to 17 years. Now, I don't know what you'd do with the fact that it was used of a three-month-old. I don't know if he means you should read the book of Proverbs to them when they can't even talk or understand yet. But I think it probably in the book of Proverbs is talking mainly about older children. It's young people. And the book of Proverbs was written so that young people, according to this verse, would have knowledge and discretion. The word knowledge means just exactly what it sounds like it means. It means to know. But by the way, and I'm going to go into more of this next week when we look at the theme of the book. We're going to look at just verse 7 next week. But the word knowledge comes up, and I'll go into this in more detail. But the word knowledge can mean skill. Interesting. That's not its most common use, but it can mean that. So that, again, we're talking about wisdom in the sense of skill for living. And discretion has the idea about it of understanding and direction and plan, so that Solomon intends to give this young buck some understanding about life. He hasn't had a long time to live yet, so he needs a wise man to give him some understanding about life, and that's why this book was written. So the young man might know, have some understanding. And we saw in chapter 7 where the simpleton and the young were both included in what they should learn in that situation. There's a third person, and that man is called, in verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. Now, I can certainly see where a naive person or a young person would need the book of Proverbs, but why would a wise man need the book of Proverbs? Now, that's because we think of the wise person who's got all wisdom, right? That isn't true at all. A wise person isn't a person who's already arrived and attained to all wisdom. It's a person who has set his heart on wisdom and is seeking wisdom and is constantly needing some more input to make sure he stays on the road toward wisdom. As a matter of fact, I want you to look at verse 5. It says, a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. The Hebrew word translated counsel means rope. It comes from a Hebrew word that means pulling a rope, like they did on a ship to set the sail. And from that idea, they got counsel, which means direction. That's all this word means. Counsel, in this Hebrew word translated counsel, means to give direction. So a wise person who is seeking wisdom comes to the book of Proverbs and says, what direction do I go in this situation? And Solomon says, that's one of the reasons I wrote, so that you would have direction. Now, give me an illustration of how I can learn beforehand about how to deal with a situation, even if I'm a mature adult that's seeking wisdom. Well, let me suggest that we turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. This is the kind of wisdom that I think would help any person, including a mature, wise person. Verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You ever met an angry person? That's almost like saying you ever met people. You meet enough of them, you'll meet an angry person, right? How do you handle an angry person? Well, you stand up to them, right? You fight fire with fire, right? Not smart. Fighting fire with fire in that case is more like fighting fire with gasoline. They're already hot and you stand up to them and you pour on more gasoline. So Solomon says, let me give you some direction as to how to handle a person full of wrath. A soft answer is more like water on the fire. A harsh word is like gasoline on that hot-tempered person. Now that's the kind of thing you learn from the book of Proverbs, that you might have to go out and stumble all over the place and learn the hard way. Well, I don't want to learn the hard way. I want to learn from what some wise man wrote. And that's the point. So let me sum up what I've just said. What I'm saying to you is, you can learn wisdom, defined as skill in living, by reading what wise men wrote. Specifically, the simpleton can gain awareness, the young man understanding, and the wise man direction. All from the book of Proverbs. Now I said there were two purposes. And one was, I called, moral. And that's to give us this moral direction in life so that we make wise, skillful decisions. The second one I called mental. And we touched on it in verse 2. And I said it was expanded in verse 6. So let's look at this second purpose for Proverbs. Verse 2 says, to perceive the words of understanding. Now look at verse 6. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise, and their riddles. What in the world is going on? Well, as I understand this prologue and this paragraph, this is the second purpose for why the whole book was written, and it's to develop you mentally. Verse 2 says, to enable you to perceive. And verse 6 spells all this out. It's to give you the understanding of a proverb, an enigma. What is an enigma? It is an obscure saying. Did you ever read Proverbs and scratch your head and say, what in the world does that mean? You ever do that? Did you ever read the Bible and do that? Do you know God did that deliberately? God didn't make it all simple. God deliberately put enigmas in the Bible. Solomon says he put them in his book. They're obscure things, and you scratch your head and you say, what in the world is that all about? Because God wants you to exercise your mind so you can develop mentally. And one way you do that is by reading the book of Proverbs. The verse also says, so that you would understand the words of the wise and their riddles. Riddles are perplexing sayings. And you are perplexed. It's obscure, it's perplexing, and you have to think in order to get it. And so Solomon says, I wrote this book so that you would develop your mental faculty and figure things out. And sure enough, as I read the book of Proverbs, there are things I just don't get. At least on the first reading. Look at chapter 30, for example. For years, I've looked at this and thought, boy, I wish for all the world he had explained this in more detail. But he didn't. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four, I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. Wow, look at that. This is really fascinating stuff. Solomon said, now look, he's supposed to be one of the wisest men in all the world, right? And he said, look, let me tell you. There are a couple of things I just don't get. I don't quite understand how a bird flies. I don't understand how a serpent walks on a rock when he doesn't have legs. I don't understand the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Why didn't the thing sink? So the air, the ground, and the sea just baffle me. But all of that is to say, what I really don't understand is the way of a man with a woman. I mean, just watch it. I mean, do you ever, are you into people watching? Do you like to go places and watch people? I've spent a lot of my life in airports, and sometimes I'm just waiting around, waiting on the train, or the plane, I mean, and I do some reading, but I also just like to watch the people. And one of the things that's most fascinating is watching some fella and you say, you know what? He's trying to get a date with her. Did you ever watch that? I'm not sure I understand all the dynamics, but it sure is fun to watch, right? Now, Solomon threw out this proverb and said, that's in the same arena as the way a bird flies, the way a snake slivers across a rock, and the way a ship floats on the sea. You really got to think about that one to figure it out. So there are enigmas and riddles in the book of Proverbs to stretch your mind. Now, let me sum it all up. There's a sense in which you could come to Proverbs chapter 1 and read these six verses and figure out real quick that what Solomon is telling us is that he wrote this book so that we could develop skill in living, and so we could develop mentally. And all that's there, and that's true. I'm suggesting that this book is telling us to get smart. And the way we get smart, at least in part, is we learn from what other people have experienced, and more specifically, we learn from what other people have experienced and then written down. The way we learn is by reading what wise men wrote. Many years ago, I heard a speaker who said this. You will be the same in 5 years as you are today, except for the people that you meet and the books you read. That interesting? I think he's right. It's been my experience and observation in life that people who grow and develop are readers. I'm not suggesting that all readers grow. I've known some who read and read and they never learned a thing. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But, on the other hand, people I've known that have really developed as people were readers. That been your experience? Matter of fact, I'll go so far as to tell you, I've seen people who, when they come to Christ, begin to read the scripture, and those are the people that grow spiritually. And usually when a person trusts Christ and they don't begin to read the scripture, they rarely grow as they should. So the bottom line of this message is simply this. You need to read what wise men say or have written so that you don't make dumb decisions in life. You make wise ones. And why not start with the book of Proverbs? I mean, reading anything any wise man has said is a good idea, but especially good if you want to see what God had to say to a wise man. Matter of fact, there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. And a lot of people have decided that if they just read one chapter a day, they'd make it through once a month. So why not just read one chapter a day? Start with whatever day it is, find that chapter, and then just make it a habit of reading one chapter of Proverbs every day. There's a practical reason for that. And what is it? That if you just saturate your mind with the book of Proverbs, and you think about what you're reading, then for one thing, it's going to stretch your mind and you're going to develop mentally. But more important, you're going to develop morally in the sense that you're going to develop skill for making right decisions in life and not have to learn it the hard way. But let me suggest a spiritual reason why you ought to do this. When Jesus was growing up, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 that he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Would you say Jesus Christ was a wise man? The Bible does. Well, let me suggest that part of us being conformed to Christ is not only being conformed to him in the sense that we become loving people, but that we be conformed to him in the sense that we become wise people. Jesus was loving, and Jesus was wise. By reading the book of Proverbs and the scripture in general, we become wise and we become conformed to the image of Christ. Or let me put it like this. Some people never learn. Some people live and learn. Those are the ones that learn the hard way. And some people learn and live. And that's what Proverbs wants us to do. It wants us to learn first and then live so that we don't make all the mistakes. I began this message by talking about a man that was talking to me about a dumb mistake he made. Imagine several years down the road, you and I going to lunch and you saying to me, smart, real smart, I made smart decisions instead of dumb ones. Wouldn't that feel good? Or imagine standing before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ and having him say, well done, my good and faithful and loving and wise servant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. given us the Holy Spirit to teach us that word. We pray that He might take that which is written and make it real to us, that He might take the things of Christ and make them very real to us, so that we can be conformed to Your Son and live wise, godly lives, and so we can be prevented from making just plain stupid mistakes. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 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 Amen.